The following is the Tony Lozano Podcast, an Opie show on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network. This is Free Kicks.
You know, I've decided I like the idea of starting the show with a little song. And you know, last week it was Mo Salah. I did a little Mo Salah song. And then, you know, I watched the Liverpool-Arsenal game. I mean, Liverpool-Manchester United game. And Salah scored. I could have played another Salah song, but really the game hinged on one lucky moment with Bruno intercepting a pass that was a terrible pass by one of the Liverpool defenders and just kicking it in from like half field, right?
Yeah, just like you do. You just kick it in.
Yeah, I could have done it. Anyone could have done it. So anyway, here's a song for Bruno. From the fans of Manchester United. Okay, there he is. Bruno. He's from Sporting like Cristiano. He goes left, he goes right, makes the defenses look. He's our Portuguese Magnifico. That is the song that they sing when Bruno gets a lucky goal. So I thought I'd throw that out there for everyone and get the show started here because, you know, what it's time for?
Free Kicks.
It is.
And now, Free Kicks.
Free Kicks.
With Illinois Youth Soccer Association's Director of Coaching, Adam Howarth.
And Rick Kemper.
So we got a lot to get to today. We've got some big Champions League games to talk about. We've got maybe the best race for the title in the Premier League ever. There's always this off-the-field news, and there's a couple of things that happened this week I want to talk to you about. Let's start with Everton. Once again, docked two more points. They just had 4 points given back, right? Now they're docked two more points. Can you please explain this? And while you're explaining it, can you tell us why Manchester City still hasn't faced any consequences at all?
Oh, my goodness. Crazy. I feel bad for the Evertonians. My goodness. I mean, they win a game, a big one against Burnley, get 3 points, and then they find out they actually only just got the 1 point. So I'm like, what the heck is going on? Because they have the 2 points. Yeah, it's complicated as it usually is, but basically, and this is straight from the league, and a classic palming it off. This is the sentence that they use. Logistically, the City case is a lot more time consuming, and it will take far longer to reach a punishment verdict. The Premier League have said. Well, arguably, I think Everton, and it's probably fair to say, they're a little unhappy with that explanation.
Yeah.
So they just think, well, we've had basically two problems, and they was able to, you know, come down on us pretty quickly. Whereas, as you mentioned, Manchester City are facing quite a few more problems and different things that they could be facing a lot more points. And someone was joking at the start of the season that if they find them guilty and all of them, they might be playing in the National League North. So they could be playing with my old team, Slough Town, possibly. Who knows? But we'll see how that all kind of pans out. But yeah, I think it's arguably that's the biggest thing, because it's one or two things that have taken place. What basically happened with the Everton situation is they didn't meet the what they call the PSR, which is the area which is basically the profitability and sustainability rules. Basically, they paid more than what they actually bring in. That's basically what it is. So they can lose so much over so many years, and Everton were only 16 million over it. You've got to figure that some of these other teams, including my team, might be a little bit more over 16 million over there projected, but they get around it with selling some academy players and different things. So they've been able to find the gaps, whereas Everton obviously couldn't find those particular gaps. And that's led to these mitigating situations that have kind of taken place. So hopefully, you know, down the road, it doesn't affect them. They're still out of the bottom three, which is good. But and they still got a game in hand over the other teams for the most part, too. So,
yeah, we'll see. I think they'll survive unless another 2 points come up indiscriminately. But anyway, yeah. So, all right. Thank you for that explanation.
Yeah.
The other news off the field is football director of Manchester United is going to leave the club. He's been there. His name is John Murtaugh. He's been there for 11 years.
Yeah.
And I just looked up their records over the last 11 years. They haven't won it a single time since he took over.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of job security I'd like. 11 years of a non-success. Your thoughts on that move?
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think when you look at it, he's leaving after probably the worst period of Manchester United football, really, in terms of ever. So probably a good time to leave, right? So when you think about it, so there's not been too much success. Just reading up a little bit about him, I think he was not necessarily the most liked person in terms of some of the decisions that he made, whether they were correct or not. I thought it was interesting. They kind of nicknamed him the fixer, but he didn't really fix anything, but they did spend over $500 million on players, which didn't lead to any real success. And so it's a little bit like Chelsea in recent years. They've spent a lot of money, but necessarily those players did not come in to help. So arguably you could say that with some of the things that have taken place, it hasn't been successful. And now Sir Jim Ratcliffe, who is now taking more of a lead in some of these directions in terms of the club, he's already keying in on two particular people, Dan Ashworth, who's the director of football with Southampton, and Jason Wilcox as a technical director. Both of them are kind of the two key people that they're looking to bring in and really kind of transform the club. Those have obviously been successful. Dan Ashworth was working with England during the years coming up recently, where obviously England's had a bit of a resurgence in terms of their players and their technical framework, or their DNA, as they call it. And Jason Wilcox is certainly, I believe, he's also with Southampton as well. So that could be kind of a key group of people that could come in to maybe change the face of Manchester United. So I think Sir Jim's got a plan. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. All right. Well, we wish them the best, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's talk about what's happening on the field.
Premier League football.
What's happening on the pitch?
Because there's a lot of excitement. What a title race. All right. Over this past weekend, I mentioned at the beginning of the show, there was a lucky goal Manchester United scored. Liverpool had to settle for a draw against Manchester United, which leaves us in a three-way race. And it's ridiculously close now. Arsenal has the lead because of goal differential. They're tied in points with Liverpool. Manchester City is 1 point behind with 7 games to play.
Yeah.
I thought we could take a look at some of the the teams are playing and see if we can maybe analyze who we think has the best shot at it. If you got a moment, going to run these by you.
Sure.
All right. So let's talk about the games that they have at home, or away rather, because those are the toughest ones, the ones to win away. Arsenal still plays at Wolves. They play at Tottenham, and they play at Manchester United. I'd say three pretty tough games, right?
No question. Yep.
Liverpool still plays at Fulham, at West Ham, at Everton, and at Villa. Those are not easy games either.
Nope.
Manchester City still plays at Tottenham, at Brighton, at Forest, and at Fulham.
Yep.
So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think Arsenal, Liverpool, looking at it, definitely the toughest ones. I mean, the Liverpool Everton game is just such a difficult game for Liverpool because it's a derby.
It is. It's the Merseyside derby.
That's right. And then Arsenal, you could say they have their derby with Tottenham, and obviously Manchester United. That's going to be a tough one. So, if I was to rank it, and looking at Man City, obviously Tottenham's tough as well as Brighton, but I would definitely put them as firm favourites at Forest and Fulham. In terms of away games, my vote goes to Manchester City, has the slightly easier run in.
Okay. That's great. Then we'll take a look at who they have at home still. Arsenal still has Chelsea coming, Villa, Bournemouth, and Everton.
Mm-hmm.
Liverpool has only three home games left against Crystal Palace, Tottenham, and Wolves. And Manchester City has three also, which is Luton Town, Wolves, and West Ham. And I think I know what you're going to say, who has the easiest route there.
Yeah, I think it's you really can't look much further than Manchester City. I mean, no offense to Luton and West Ham, you've got to think that they would definitely be heavy favourites to beat them. Well, obviously, Wolves is improving and kind of a solid mid-table team. Liverpool's isn't terrible, other than the Tottenham one. I mean, I think they could definitely be favourites against Wolves and Crystal Palace, so I would put them second. And then I think Arsenal, again, tough one. Chelsea, obviously, tough team.
Yeah.
Villa, tough. Bournemouth, improving. Everton as well. You know, they have the extra home game, but
yeah,
I'd still put Man City in the driver's seat. That's how I look at it.
Although Man City still has to play in the FA Cup too. Now, so they have to play against Chelsea also in the FA Cup. And let's talk about Europe, because some unbelievable Champions League action this week. Featuring two of these three teams, Manchester City against Real Madrid, Arsenal against Bayern Munich. Did you get a chance to watch any of those games?
Well, this is the thing, and this is the funny part. And so I called the Champions League office, and I said to them, I said, I would like to talk to the person who scheduled both of these games at the same time.
At a time that you cannot watch it.
Numbskulls. Yes, exactly. I mean, hey, I work in a soccer office. I work for a soccer association. There's ways to get around stuff, right? So you would certainly hope that you can have it. Fortunately, we had the two TVs going. But my goodness, this is just craziness. Why would you do that? And plus, you've got 10 goals to watch. I mean, it was back and forth. So much intrigue, drama, penalty kicks that should have took place, penalty kicks that weren't given.
Yeah, let's talk about that. All right, first of all, the way I watch it is I watch it on that Gonzalo or whatever they call it, where they had both of them up at the same time.
Galazzo.
Yeah.
Gonzalo.
Whatever. Whatever. I'm an old man. Be nice to me. But they were both up on the screen at the same time, so I watched them both. Sort of. You know, it was kind of hard to see, but when they would go to the goals, there were some amazing goals. We'll talk about that in a second. But let's talk about the goals that didn't happen. There were a few very controversial moments.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Totally agree. So both Arsenal and Bayern, you could probably say, were in disbelief in terms of the penalty. The one that sticks out for me, the one was the penalty kick where there was that unusual incident where he took a short goal kick and then I think it was Gabriel kind of picked it up, right? So that was kind of...
Yeah.
I really don't know what was happening there. So that was a bit of a weird one. So to give a penalty on that would have been a tough one, right?
I totally agree on that. I saw them going nuts on the field. Like, yes, technically, it was like, you know, a little kid's game. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Confusion.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was.
Well,
you
can't decide a Champions League game on a moment like that.
Yes, exactly. And then the other one at the end. I mean, and this one, I go back and forth because I think a lot of the pundits in England were talking about clear penalty on Saka. He kind of went around the goalkeeper, Neuer, put his leg out, and his leg hit Neuer's leg, and he went down. Yeah. That's basically what I saw. Right. So, but there's talk about how he kind of ran into him and left his leg there.
I kind of saw it that way, you know, because here's what happens. But Neuer is he's stationary, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And Saka is coming at him. Now, Neuer is stationary too close to him. You know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah.
But Saka did kind of initiate the contact. But mm-hmm. Neuer knew he was going to initiate the contact, right?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. It's a tough one. Yeah. I mean, I could have given it either way. I think it was, you know, I credit Saka for it being in that position. I mean, again, he's one-on-one right there. Yeah. You know, he's one-on-one, you know, and so Neuer didn't necessarily move, didn't purposely do it, but there was still contact.
Right.
So, you know, would that have been a foul in the middle of the field? Probably.
Yeah,
not that you want your goalkeeper in the middle of the field, but yeah. That's not the point. but could that, you know, you would have probably called that in the middle of the field, but because it was in the penalty box, no call. So, I'd say it was a penalty. That's just me.
Okay. Well, the good news is both games ended in draws.
Yeah.
And now we go to Munich, mm-hmm. and we go to Manchester. Right, mm-hmm. and go to Man City. So those are going to be great. We'll have a chance to see those next week, and we'll talk about it in a next week's show. But my question to you is, how do you think that games like those, which were just end-to-end dramatic with your best lineups out there, how does that affect the title race? Because you have two extra games. Now, Liverpool's also playing Atalanta in the Europa Cup. Not quite the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I mean, maybe not quite the depth in terms of the strength. But here's the thing. Looking at Man City, this is how strong they are. They had a player that didn't play. I don't know if you've heard of him. His name's Kevin De Bruyne.
I know.
He's quite good.
Yeah.
So that's how strong Man City is. Their depth is unbelievable. And Phil Foden, what can you say about that guy? I mean, he's now starting to fall into, and I heard Thierry Henry talk about it. He's starting to move into the world-class area now in terms of he's now able to take the team on his back and be able to take over a game. That is truly world-class.
That goal
That's exciting.
Was unbelievable.
Amazing.
I mean, how many players can just put it in the top corner like that outside the box? He's scored quite a few goals like that this year.
Amazing. Yeah, he's done some amazing things in terms of scoring goals at really important times. That's the sign of a fantastic player. That's how I look at it. So That to me tells you everything that you need to know about how good he is. And then again, give Real Madrid a bunch of credit to come back as well. That goal that Valverde scored, the volley,
that was pretty nice.
that was great. Just kind of skipped along the side of the field, and that was tremendous. So you're seeing the kind of the true ability of these players at the highest level, and it's just a treat to watch. I mean, it's just great game going back and forth. I must confess, I probably watched a bit more of the Manchester City Real Madrid game just because it was, to me, those are the two best teams in the tournament. It's just a shame they haven't played against each other. And
and it's a quarter final too.
I know. So I like the way they do the brackets.
Yeah,
you know, that's great. But then seed them.
Yeah.
Seed them.
Yes.
If you're going to do a bracket, seed them. It doesn't make any sense. So let's be realistic. Should be Man City 1, Real Madrid 2. There's your final. Done. Yeah. There's your brackets. And then now we've got to watch. What have we got to watch today? Dortmund. Okay, yeah, great. Come on.
I'm with you on that. Right.
I mean, if that whole side of the bracket is just it's not even fair. It's just not even going to be fun to watch, you know, in terms of who we've got. I mean, we've got today, we're recording this on Wednesday, we've got Dortmund versus Atletico.
Yeah.
I mean, PSG and Barcelona.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Three, four years ago was a great game. Now it's everybody's left.
Well, it sounds to me like we're on the same page, even though Arsenal is on top right now and Liverpool is my team. We both think Man City's still going to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's see.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, I think Arsenal's got the toughest run in. Liverpool's is, I think, got a good chance. I think they can get more results. And Man City concedes goals. There's no question.
They do.
You know, they have the worst goal differential, only by a couple, but they've conceded the most goals. So that gives you an idea that they will concede. So it's going to come down to the wire, and that's great. That's what we want.
Okay. Free Kicks is brought to you by the Illinois Youth Soccer Association.
Illinois Youth Soccer has been proudly serving the Illinois soccer community since 1975 and has a strong history of credibility. Illinois Youth Soccer is a nonprofit corporation, official state association and charter member of the U.S. Soccer Federation, administers U.S. Soccer Federation coaching programs, U.S. Soccer Federation Olympic Development Program, and U.S. Soccer Federation referee programs. For more information, go to illinoisyouthsoccer.org. I do have a little bit of news if you've got a little jingle ready.
Here we go.
There you go.
And now, the latest Chicago area soccer news.
Soccer news.
Soccer news.
With Coach Adam.
Coach Adam.
Go ahead.
All right. So, April 23rd, we're really excited to have our first Coaches Connection. So, we decided to do it virtually just because of the depth of the people that we've got coming into the meeting. So, we're really excited about that.
Whoa! Does that mean no donuts?
No donuts. Yeah, I know. Exactly.
Oh, okay.
I'm afraid there's not going to be a donut. Yeah.
Fine.
But you can still eat a donut in the luxury of your own lounge, kitchen, wherever you do your work from these days. Uh-huh. So it's perfectly fine. So, but we're excited. We've got two great people to come in. We've got Shari Summers, who is the current Chief Soccer Growth Officer, recently just moved down to Atlanta in preparation for the big unveiling. I don't know if you saw on the news that they just started digging up the dirt. The National Development Center is under production, so that's great. We're excited about that. So she is in charge of basically a good landscape in terms of the current U.S. soccer ecosystem. That's the new word that people are using these days. So she's going to talk a little bit about coaching education, referee, safe sport, safe soccer, all those types of things and how she deals with it. And she actually, fantastic background, played at Stanford, was the captain of Stanford, also played on some of the national teams all the way through youth and played professionally in Norway. So really interested to hear what she has to say. And then we also brought in Chicago Fire Academy coach. He's currently the under-17 coach, but he's also head of development. He does a lot of the coaching education pieces, which goes along with the MLS Next programs. And he's going to do a quick presentation on coaching in terms of how you coach the individual within the team. So I think that will be really enlightening for all of our coaches who listen in. And then you've got Chris and his boring update, and then my even more boring update, and then we'll wrap it up. But there you go. But it's all good. I'm just kidding. They're not boring updates. They're very important. But register if you can for the Zoom. Information went out yesterday. Go to our website. You can find everything there. So if people need it, tell them to pop me an email, doc@illinoisyouthsoccer.org. Be happy to forward it on.
Okay, and your social security number?
My is 7.
Yeah, it's time for this.
Time now to guess the Premier League star.
Okay, so I've got one that I think is kind of tough this week. Guess a Premier League star. He's 24 years old, okay. But he's got quite a resume. So I'm going to call him a star. He's already played in the Bundesliga in Germany, in Serie A in Italy, in La Liga in Spain, and League One in France. And those weren't obscure teams that he played for. He played for Leipzig, Roma, Valencia, and Nice. Okay.
Okay.
And he's not from any of those countries. He's also not from England, although he currently does play in the Premier League. Otherwise, he wouldn't qualify for this for this category.
Yeah, exactly. I'm glad we're doing that. Otherwise, it's just guess the star.
Right. He has scored in every one of those leagues. He's only the second person to do that in the century, although he has only scored 5 goals this season with his current team. Now, his team is one of the mid-table teams. They're not in the bottom or the top. They are probably a little bit closer to the bottom. He's a winger. He's Dutch. You got to start with Ajax.
Okay. Start with Ajax. He's Dutch. He's probably playing, let me see, on a team that's playing in the south, in the coast. Would it be the coast of England? Would that be fair to say?
That's a good question. I'm not sure where this club is located.
Well, Bournemouth is on the coast?
Yes, they are on the coast.
And would he be currently playing with Bournemouth?
He would be, yes. Very good.
There you go. So, does he have a very famous father who played?
He does. His father, Patrick, was a big star himself.
All right. So, it's got to be, I believe he goes by Justin Kluivert.
That's right.
He has played at quite a few clubs. Yeah. You're absolutely right. That's quite impressive. But having a decent season with Bournemouth. So, yeah, getting a lot of game time. So that's good for him.
I've watched him play a few times. He does look like someone who could be a big star, or at least a Premier League star.
Yeah, right. For sure. I think he's a solid player, and there's no question. I think he's also played on the national team a couple of times.
Yeah,
I think he's kind of faded out of that a little bit, but you know, maybe with the form he's in right now, he might get back into it. But been solid, and plus also on that Bournemouth team, you know, you've got Tyler Adams, one of probably my favorite American player.
Yeah,
I used to like Christian Pulisic, but you know, should never have left Chelsea. But that's just my opinion.
It wasn't his fault.
But he's played better now than he's ever played, to be fair to Pulisic, so which is good. But Tyler Adams is, as long as he can stay healthy, he's the man. That's the man, that's for sure. And he played a few weeks ago. I think he played not this past weekend, the weekend before, but I think he got a little bit of an injury again. So fingers crossed he's okay.
Yeah,
so, but
he is a little
good
guy.
Little group.
yeah. Actually,
good little group.
I looked up Justin to see if he was at Ajax when we were there, and he was in the youth academy when we were there visiting them. So just goes that shows the boys listen, you know, hang in there, you can make it.
Exactly right. Absolutely. All right,
I promise an odd stat of the week, and this week I've gone through and looked at the three most and least penalized teams in the Premier League. All right. And there's kind of some surprises here, actually. And let's start with the gentlemen, right? The least penalized teams. Luton Town is the third least penalized team. They're the only team in the league that has 0 red cards, 60 yellow cards. But that shows you, wait till you hear the ones that are in the top. Manchester City and Arsenal are the two least penalized teams in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Arsenal currently top of the table, has the smallest number of cards, and Man City is next. Now, let's look at the less than gentlemen, if you will.
Yeah.
The third most penalized team in the Premier League is Aston Villa.
That doesn't surprise me.
82 yellow cards and 2 reds.
They're not called the villains for nothing.
That's right. The second most penalized team in the Premier League, your boys in blue, Chelsea. 91 yellow cards and 3 red cards.
And you know what's interesting? 90 of them went to Nicholas Jackson.
Right, exactly. That's probably true. And then number one, the most penalized team in all of the Premier League is Sheffield United. Has 91 yellow cards and 4 red cards. And Burnley, by the way, has the most reds. They have 7 reds. So that
is to win games. I mean, think about how difficult that is. You get a red card. You just can't win.
Yeah.
I mean, you just can't win. And they got a red card against Chelsea last week.
Yeah.
But they was able to scramble a draw. But
I think the good news is it's not 7 different games. I think there was one game when they had 2 in the same game.
Yeah. Okay. So there you go. So that's a part. Always looking on the bright side.
That's right. All right. It's time for my favorite part of the show.
Now time for Adam's Weekend Soccer TV Tip.
All right. What do we got?
Wow, week 33, game week 33. It's crazy. We don't have much left here. So excited to see the games. We've got Saturday, Sunday, plus the Monday night matchup. Chelsea at home against Everton, Monday night football. But I think we're going to find out, are they really, again, these next 3 games for them are going to be absolutely critical. And that's why I think it's going to be important to watch them. And they've done fantastically well so far. 10:30 Sunday, Arsenal at home at the Emirates against the villains of Aston Villa. I think that's going to be a great game to watch to see if they can keep up. We'll know exactly what happened with Man City. They got Luton. You would expect them to win that one. Liverpool against Crystal Palace, both at home. So I think the pressure's going to be on Arsenal to keep up. And I think that's also, when you think about it, that's going to have some key parts to it, because then the following week they play the first games. So they can put pressure on the other team. Yeah. So I think there's definitely something to be said about what time you play, because that will add a little bit of pressure.
If you look at the last couple of weeks, it has been the team that played last that crumbled. They feel the pressure.
Right.
They feel the pressure.
Exactly.
Okay, well, we have people to thank. We need to thank our executive producer, Tony Lozano from Opie Productions. We also have to thank Ed Silla, who is our distributor at the Radio Misfits Podcast Network. Great Talk Radio isn't dead. It just moved to a better place, radiomisfits.com. And we've got lots of stuff to talk about again next week. We will be back with a brand new show right before Adam goes in for his back surgery. Right here with another episode of Free Kicks.
The proceeding was a presentation of the Radio Misfits Podcast Network. Find our other great shows on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and at RadioMisfits.com. Thank you.
This has been a presentation of Opie Productions.
Tony, can you shut up?